Cats Community and Conversations, a weekly podcast dedicated to Medicine Hat and the surrounding area, hosted by Linda Tooth and Michelle Marshall. Stay tuned for more.
Well, hello, Linda.
You know, I love it when you say that. You speak to me every morning. What a hello. I love it. Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Fantastic. Actually, I'm meowtastic.
Are you fangtastic?
Well, I could be. But I like meowtastic. It sounds a little bit better.
Perfect.
I'm perfect.
Oh.
Yeah.
Boy. Welcome back to Cats Community.
And Conversation. I was waiting for you to say that. I'm like, come on, we got things to do here today.
I didn't realize I was on a time crunch.
Yes. Well, no, you're not really, but you know how you are.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I'm very chatty and,
yeah, I know.
You know, controlling of the conversation. Mm-hmm. Anywho, so we are back with Sam, our friend Sam. Hi, Sam.
Hi, you meowsing people.
Oh, I love it. We're back for our third episode with Sam alone.
Yes. So
I feel this is going to go on for like ever.
Sam, I think you're going to have a regular spot on the show. I hope you're okay with that.
That is cat-tastic.
Stop it. Where are these coming from? I love it. I love it.
No, don't stop. Just keep them coming.
How are things in the UK today?
It is wet and cold. We did have a cold front. I found out that I'm not good between about 1 and 5 degrees humid cold.
Okay.
I get, like, really cold, but the minute it's 0 to -45, we're good to go.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then they all go, oh my gosh, it's so cold. And I'm like, it's not cold.
Yeah. No, I'm, you know, wear a light jacket and they're all bundled up like they're dying, like it's Armageddon or something.
My favorite is Canada Goose on the tube where it's like 20 degrees.
I need my thermal insulated jacket that's good to minus 50.
God bless them. Just before we dive into some serious stuff here, what the hell is now going on with Harry and Meghan, Sam? Come on.
Yes.
Honestly,
the book in Holland. And names.
I saw the side eye from Princess Kate.
Not good. What's going on, Sam?
Oh, I think it's getting really complicated with all of them. I don't keep up super a lot with it, but I don't know. I think it's a bit tumultuous right now.
Yeah. Family dynamics, as we know, right, can be horrible at times. Mm-hmm. And imagine that on a stage with billions of people knowing your business.
Indeed.
No, thank you.
Yeah, no thanks.
No,
not- no. I'll be the princess behind the scenes.
Right?
Yeah, I don't need to be.
Love that.
Yeah.
Okay. Princess Linda.
You know, it doesn't sound right.
Queen Linda.
Oh, there we go. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There we go.
Or Monarch Linda, if we wanted to be gender inclusive.
You know, Sam, that's the perfect segue.
That is a perfect segue.
Our conversation today.
Oh, he's brilliant.
He's so brilliant.
He is brilliant.
We're talking about gender today.
We're talking about a lot of stuff today.
Well, yes, we are talking about a lot of stuff, but let's talk about gender. Let's unpack.
Yeah, right, I think.
Carry on. Go. You go, thinking? Sam. Where are we going?
Where are we going with gender today?
Well, I think gender. Okay, let's caveat this with. Let's say this to the listeners. Beautiful, beautiful people across the world, but mostly in Alberta, in Medicine Hat and surrounding populace. We are going to explore gender today, and it can be a very tricky subject. So if you feel uncomfortable, that's normal. And maybe start to question, why is it uncomfortable and what rules are you running up against in your mind?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, I like that.
Yeah, because I think that... interestingly, sometimes on like Instagram and stuff, I'll get like stories pop up about gender related things. And I think that people minimize gender rhetoric because they don't understand the concept. And agreed. I'm not a gender researcher. I have read queer theory for a number of dissertations that I've either supervised or I wrote on. I am versed a little bit in it, but I wouldn't say I'm like a PhD in sociology of gender, but I think that my views are probably a little bit more open than maybe others. So we'll give that caveat.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I love that. Because, and really to our listeners, just come into this conversation with an open mind and be open to the idea of different points of view.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause there's nothing wrong with that.
There isn't. No. There really isn't. And yeah.
And I'm not as well versed on it, and I want to be. So I've actually, I'm taking a course in January here at the college. Yes, on gendered studies.
That's
credit
very
course.
Exciting.
I'm pretty excited. There's going to be a lot of paper writing. So I'm looking forward to that just to get a new perspective.
Yeah.
And let's go back in history and let's look at gender roles in history and how they played out throughout the years and where we're at now.
Yeah, because I think there's been some very negative shifts that have happened over centuries. Because I feel like, and Sam, maybe you can correct me on this, but I feel like years and years and years, decades ago, gender fluidity was very open and very accepted. And somehow the script got flipped. Mm-hmm. And now it seems to be more controversial.
Well, and I think too, Sam, we live in such a conservative part of Canada that I think that that has a big part in it as well, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think before going straight into gender, my thoughts go, okay, well, why is conservatism, is it only rooted in tradition? Is it fiscal conservatism? Is it like gender conservatism? Like, I think it gets this umbrella name and it kind of like seeps into other things. Like, could it not be more encompassing versus this idea of traditional ideas? Like, do we have to get back to tradition? And how far does that tradition go before we call it non-traditional? Like, how far back in history are we talking?
Right.
Good point.
So I think with gender, the other thing about this is that before we even start talking about gender, gender is like basically in everything.
Mm-hmm.
You have languages like French that gender things, or maybe even have neutral gender. There's in our clothing, there's gender skirts versus kilts. We have glasses that are more quote unquote female, more quote unquote male. You have it in even like what drinks people drink, how dating's supposed to happen, religious roles in terms of different religions and where people sit and what they're able to do. Just like absolutely everything. Is there any other things that you'd want to add to that list of gender where it's like encroaches into our life or is established in our lives?
I think even just from a female point of view, it's the roles that were assigned. Like, if we look back in history, and I'm even thinking back to like the 50s, like women were solely to produce children and raise the household and look after the husband. And, you know, so I think we still have that need for gender roles, if you will. But they're becoming more fluid and they're becoming more transitional between the different genders. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And I think too, when you mentioned the 50s, I mean, if we go back a little bit further, you know, in the world wars, when the men were gone, then the women had to step up. Mm-hmm. And then the women had to work outside of the home, which they never did before.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So there was that shift. Yeah, I think just throughout history, like women have always had, and men have had too, right? Men,
yes.
Men have always
had
to be the providers,
yes.
And they weren't allowed to show emotion. And now we're seeing this shift, but now we're getting backlash for the shift.
Mm-hmm. And it makes me think of, I actually saw a TikTok the other day of somebody who posted a conversation about, I don't know if it was somebody they'd met on a dating site or whatnot. And he was talking about looking for somebody to fit a more traditional role. And so she was like, okay, well, that actually aligns with me as well. So she had the conversation of like, well, I would like to be a homemaker, stay at home, raise the kids, and have somebody provide. And he lost his shit over this, thinking like, you're just a gold digger. It's like, well, No, how can it be one-sided?
Yeah.
How can you want traditional ideology?
Yeah.
And so when somebody mirrors that, all of a sudden they're considered a gold digger.
Hmm.
I don't know. Sam, what do you think?
Well, and this is where I think it gets like incredibly complicated. That's why I was saying, like, even what do people drink? Oh, like, yeah. Cosmo is a female drink.
Right.
An old fashioned is a male drink. Or like the types of shoes we wear, the roles in terms of like there's more female counselors, there's more male engineers, like everything becomes so gender codified.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I think we'll loop back to the traditional thing in a little bit, because I think this is where viewers start to get confused. Because,
mm-hmm.
and I mentioned it in another episode, but sex, biological sex, gender, and sexuality are different.
Yes.
So gender, so sex is based on biology. So hormones and also like genitalia and DNA chromosomes, etc.
Mm-hmm.
As to gender is like male, female, trans, and non-binary. Non-binary meaning everything in between male and female.
Right.
So for example, we have people who are biologically intersex, meaning they have like XXY or XYY chromosomes, mm-hmm. who are like hormonally and structurally might have variations compared to the binary male and female if we're looking at biological sex.
Right.
There are people who are basically born non-binary,
mm-hmm.
right? Because they're like a mixture, mm-hmm. at a very biological level. Then in gender, we have the male and female and everything in between, where it's gender roles. And I think that's what you're talking about in terms of tradition.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what is the traditional female role versus the traditional male role? And how is that starting to get grayed and blurred with things like the war, with things like transgender, with things like just these shifts in ideological processes? And then if you codify gender and or sex, then you look at sexuality. So like, for example, is a trans woman, so someone who's transitioned from male to female and is still interested in men, now in a straight couple,
hmm.
or a gay couple? Well, if we're talking about gender, then we'd say they're in a straight couple. And that's where mm-hmm. it starts to get very convoluted for people, I think. Yes.
And it is a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where some people struggle.
Mm-hmm. And I think you're right. I think there's a lot of information and a lot of misinformation floating out there in the cyber world. And I think that's creating the confusion for a lot of people who are trying to understand and who are trying to educate themselves.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that because it is entrenched in everything, it makes people really uneasy.
Mm-hmm. It does. Yeah.
And it's because you're running into rules that you didn't realize you had.
Mm-hmm.
So if, for example, and this is not related as much to gender, but about sexuality, is like, if there is a throuple, I know a few throuples where there's three people in a relationship, if that makes you uncomfortable, what rules in your mind is it breaking?
Mm-hmm.
Probably thinking the rule of monogamy. You're probably thinking the rules of marriage. You're probably thinking, oh, there's so many reasons why it wouldn't function, but actually it does function. But what's making people uneasy is that it's breaking the rules.
Yes.
And then if you don't have the rules, what does that mean for you? Well, then your whole world starts to like warp and collide because, oh, I've been living my whole life as a man. I thought I knew what that means. That's so much of my identity. It almost be like saying, oh, you're not really Canadian. And I think a lot of Canadians would really struggle with that idea if they're like this major part of their identity started getting rocked. And I think that's why people are so emotional and combative and aggressive about gender, because it is challenging them at a way that's so deep. And if we think of like the Aboriginal peoples, there's people prior to colonization, they used to have 5 to 6 genders.
Mm-hmm.
And so why after colonization is the 2 gender correct and the 6 incorrect? And that's where it starts to become, like, I had once a gentleman who wanted to go on dates or something. I was talking about gender and he's like, well, I know you're a man, look between your legs. And then I said, well, Aboriginals had six genders. What do you have to say about that?
Mm-hmm.
Really know what to say, because I kind of challenged them on that.
Because you're rocking the foundation of what they know.
Absolutely.
And people don't like that.
And it's deep-rooted programming, because this goes back generation after generation after generation. Yeah. So like, it really is deep-rooted. Sorry, go ahead, Sam.
Well, it's like if you think of a little boy who might be more feminine, like a feminine boy or maybe a tomboy girl.
Yeah.
Or traditionally, people would be like, well, no, you need to be a boy, man up to the boy and to the girl. They'd be like, girls don't do that. Like, girls wear dresses, girls do this. And I think even traditionally within Alberta, you'd go, oh, that they must be gay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now I think the assumption is becoming, oh, they must be trans. Which I think is really interesting, because they might not be trans, they might be non-binary, or they might be LGBTQ, like lesbian or gay.
Mm-hmm.
Or bi. And so I feel like in some ways we're narrowing again instead of thinking wide.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's almost like we're trying to compartmentalize instead of allowing that fluidity, the fluidity to happen of gender.
And I wonder if that's a government.
It could be. Do you think politics really has a driving factor in how we perceive sexuality and gender?
So I think it's at least in the UK, it's known that like more conservative parties actually use more narratives than liberal parties.
Okay. Mm.
So like the liberal party might say something like, and they don't use the same terminology as we do in conservatism and liberalism, so just bear that in mind, viewers. So basically it might be like liberals will tend to say things like, oh, there's a nursing shortage by like 80%, we should worry about this. As the conservatives will say, Mr. O went into the hospital and there wasn't enough nurses, and then he had to wait and didn't get his care, and now he's passed away. That narrative is much more emotionally driving than the statistic. And what liberals don't seem to understand is how to wrap in a narrative. And the thing with a lot of the conservative rhetoric is they use things like tradition. They use a lot of fear mongering. So there's a thing. Now, I don't want to. There's a lot of ways that you can actually loop that back in to like your point of view. So it's very easy to use a gender anti-trans narrative to link in other people's values into you being voted into office and into that way of being. Make Alberta great again, make Trump great again. And there, it's very easy, like, oh, if we don't make it great again, then immigrants will come and then they will change our values and it won't be the same as us Canadians. And then you'll have to live under these other values, which logically seems true, but isn't. But that's how they warp in those narratives.
Yeah. And isn't there some serious irony in there? Because that's exactly what colonizers did to Indigenous people.
Yeah.
Like the irony is just thick when it comes to that.
Oh, you're getting her. She's levitating above her seat, Sam.
It's just, and maybe this is the Libra coming out in me, where it's all about justice. It just feels like, you know, we make these step forwards for equality and diversity.
And inclusion.
And then we're taking like
back
three giant steps backwards because of rhetoric that's coming from
fear mongering.
Yeah, from fear mongering, which is really frustrating.
It is very frustrating. And I think we're seeing that a lot more now with our present government here in Alberta, especially from the post-secondary avenue. You know, they want to take back. They don't want us to offer these particular things that we're offering. Mm-hmm. And then the fear is there that we're not going to get the funding. You don't do this and we're going to pull your funding kind of thing. So there's a lot of fear mongering going on, a lot of fear, I think, within this community as a whole.
How do you mean? Like, because I'm not always as versed in Alberta's political landscape in general. Is there an example? Because, yeah, I have some thoughts, I think, depending on the example.
You know, we have now Pride Week, right? Mm-hmm. We celebrate that. Mm-hmm. A lot of colleges and universities are offering diversity, equity, and inclusion. Mm-hmm. Seems to be a thing where a lot of us are offering it now. And then there's that thought of, well, now you need to pull that back. We don't want you to be able, you know, being very conservative, we don't want that.
And even from a standpoint as something like storytime drag shows, mm-hmm. like huge in Alberta and Saskatchewan, where it's educating children in a different way, mm-hmm. which I think is a very fun, creative way to yeah. have story time with somebody who enjoys drag. And there's protesting because they think it's like they're trying to convert their children.
Yes, and which is not what they're doing.
Which is not what they're doing. They're simply reading a story in drag.
Yes.
To have to give back to the community.
And Calgary's had some issues with that at their public library, right? And they've had yes. protesters out. And I mean, even our pride walkway here at the college has been vandalized every year.
Yeah.
Every year. And it's like, okay, conservatives.
Well, in some ways, at least in the queer community, it's known that if you do like vandalize or gay bash, a lot of them are actually just people who are repressing their own homosexuality. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like a telltale sign that you actually are queer and just based on your whatever beliefs. I'm not going to say that could be religious, political, socioeconomic beliefs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just beliefs, you don't like that part of yourself because it's going up against the rules you've been taught your whole life. And so you're lashing out.
I never thought of it from that perspective.
Mm-hmm. It actually makes a lot of sense.
There's quite a few films about that, actually. There was a new one, I think, called Femme, that's out in theaters, about a gay basher being actually gay and then in love with the person he bashed.
Oh my God. I haven't heard of that.
Yeah, so I think that even in those sense of like political climates, it gets a bit like, how is the rhetoric being used? Like this anti-EDI kind of rhetoric. So if like different universities are going to get cut funding if they do EDI, it makes me think, well, is that not going against the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms?
Right. Yes, exactly.
In some ways it isn't discriminating. I know that there's a lot of rhetoric that says it's creating reverse racism. But I start to go, I find it really interesting in Canada because I was once at a Scottish New Year's Eve, which took place earlier than regular New Year's Eve in Calgary. Someone said, oh, what are these immigrants, these Scottish people? And I was like thinking, you're an immigrant too. You're not Aboriginal. Like, what are you going on about? Like,
right?
Do you hear yourself right now? And then I was like, just a bit confused. And so I think people get drawn to these ideologies because they feel like they're being left behind and it's giving them a sense of community and voice. And then there is fear-mongering rhetoric being tied in as well into those, like, getting rid of EDI programs.
Mm-hmm. It's absolutely fascinating.
It is.
Do you want to put a pin in it for this episode? And yeah. then we'll come back and we'll talk next episode more into the DEI and the impact that it's having in universities and secondary education?
Yeah.
Excellent. Folks, thanks so much for joining us for this episode. Stay tuned for part two of this fascinating discussion. I'm really excited about it.
I can tell you're levitating. Is that the right word, levitating?
I think so.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah, she's ready, Sam. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere, my friend.
Thanks, everybody.